You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Season two, welcome back to season two. I am here with my incredible producers, Alan and Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, how are you two?
Go first, Elizabeth.
Well, it's midterm season for me, so just trying to make it through, honestly.
How is that still fucking happening right now? Midterms and the time of love and cholera.
Wait, this is like the fall. Shouldn't you just be starting a new year?
Is it the fall? I don't know what month it is, what day it is.
It's 60 degrees outside, and I'm very confused because last weekend it was like 80, but I'm just doing what my teachers send me, which is a hell of a lot.
God, I feel like we all opened up fortune cookies and the fortune said, God is dead and you're alone. Don't you? Alan. Hi, Alan. I miss you.
I miss you.
So we have a lot of fun going on. First of all, thank you to our Patreons for making this happen. And today we have a special shout out to Christina Francis. Boy, you didn't make me pissed. You made me happy. And Dina Zucker. Not gonna rhyme that. Then there's Brit. Thank you to the three of you, our special, special new Patreons. We love you. And next time we're going to be doing a healthy shot in your namesake's honor. Does that make sense?
You were like, namesake.
Okay, anyway.
You're already starting to gag and you haven't even put anything in your mouth.
Alan, go to timeout. I'm the funny one here, okay? You son of a you four-eyed slut. Now listen, if you want to join us at our Patreon, we have Patreon Zoom parties. There are options where one day when all of this is over, you can even come to the studio and watch us do a show. What? How crazy is that? Join us at patreon.com/JoshSwallowsBroadway. And now I'm really excited because we have literally Broadway's darlings on the show today. Two of the best men that I know, two of the best performers that I know. And they're also, like Michael Kushner would say, multi-hyphenates. Like, they just do it all. And they're also engaged, which makes me really, really happy for them. Okay, so without further ado, the fabulous Wes Taylor and Isaac Powell. Hi, boys.
Hi,
Joshy.
Hi, baby. Isaac, did you know that your fiance played my fiance? So in a way, I played you.
I've heard this, right? In Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah, I'm actually going to change that on my resume to like, I played Isaac Cole Powell in James Lapine and Billy Finn's.
You guys are so much alike.
Yeah.
All the same person.
I know. That's why you wanted to spend so much time with me backstage. See, during Little Miss Sunshine, Wes was still in, was it the final season of your show?
We were planning the second season of It Could Be Worse. So we were like raising all the money and in pre-production. Oh, and then shooting it. Yeah. During Little Miss Sunshine, we started shooting it. Yeah.
So poor Wes, poor multi-hyphenate Wes is sitting there being a star off Broadway, writing a hit series and like filming it and doing it all.
Always doing the most. Always.
And there's me backstage, needy adopted me being like, let's play with our noses. And you'd be like, leave me alone. Like, we almost had to come up with a safe word. Like, if you say, Josh, red light, that means I'll go away quietly without hurt feelings.
You were the biggest takeaway I had from that experience. I fell in love with you during that show.
Oh my God.
It was such fun.
It was amazing. Also, it was cool because, like, you've been a hero to me since you came on to the scene. And I remember I met you because we had mutual friends, but it would be in passing and I'd be like, oh my God, that's Wes Taylor. And I don't want to be a dork and be like, you're a genius. But then when we showed up at that first workshop or whatever for Sunshine, and I was like, I'm playing opposite Wes Taylor.
Oh my God. No one makes me laugh more than you, Josh. Come on.
That's not true. Isaac makes you laugh.
He sure does. He really does. He's so stupid. Isaac? No one really knows the full extent of how stupid Isaac is. They think he's like so beautiful and sweet, and he is all those things, but they don't know. They don't know the idiot that I know.
I love that. I love that. Now, how did you two met? When you were you teaching at the college in North Carolina, or how did you two meet?
I did like teach a class or two, not yours,
but
though.
not at that point.
That would have been scandalous.
That would have been very scandalous.
Professor Taylor wants to see you in his office.
But you can tell the story.
No, I actually told it earlier. I've already told this story once today, so why don't you tell it?
I feel like I've been talking too much. But
I feel like I'm seeing a fight, and I really like it.
You're about to.
This is the beginning.
So I was at North Carolina School of the Arts. I was in my junior year in the drama program there. And, you know, all the things that you just said about Wes, I felt as well. Having, you know, seen him in Smash and following his Broadway career. And there I was just like enamored with him and hoping to one day meet him. All my teachers knew I had a crush on him. And then one day he posted an Instagram picture of the front sign on our school. And I knew he was on campus. And so I emailed all my teachers and I was like, you must introduce me to Wes Taylor today. Cause it was like an inside joke with the faculty that I was obsessed with Wes. And so we happened to have like an all school assembly that day. And so when I got there, my teacher, Tanya Belov, she like motioned me over and introduced us. And then like, you know, 10 minutes later, we're exchanging numbers and it all went down.
Oh my gosh. That's so fun.
Fanboy turned fiance.
That's amazing. I was like that too, but with people like Christiane Knoll, and you know, I'd be like, oh, you gotta introduce me. But I remember, you won't remember this, Isaac, but I met you on the street as you were walking to perform in Once on This Island. I forget where. I think I was working at the time. I think it was maybe during Groundhog Day. And so I was walking there. I saw you walking to a circle in the square. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, you're Isaac. You're engaged to my friend Wes. Hello. Hi. Or I don't know if you were, no, you weren't engaged yet. I was like, your boyfriend's my friend. And you were like, hi, great to meet you. I'm going to go be a star. Bye. And it was so sweet, but I was like, I think you scared your boy.
Well, I remember editing the third season of Indoor Boys, and during your stuff, Josh, I was sending Isaac the... sending him your scenes. Just like, you have to see this.
Thank you. Do you know that that is like... out of everything I've done, that I think is my proudest work.
It should be. It's just exceptional. It's so extraordinary.
See, the scene was Wes and Alex Wise were looking for a new roommate, and I showed up to be a potential roommate, but it's just this character that I do. It's just this disgusting guy that's like, listen, hear me out. I'm not gay. I'm not gay, but God, I just need to be touched.
I mean, we wrote a scene, but you know, he shot it a couple times, but then really Josh, we really just have to keep the camera rolling, give him like the color, the tone, what we want. And we just let the cameras roll for about 10 minutes and try not to laugh.
Well, getting you and Alex and Cody to laugh are... like that to me is the biggest soul food.
The world. Honestly, between you and Kathy Fitzgerald, I don't know how we
just so together. Many brilliant like guest stars Nathan on that entire like season. Yeah.
Oh God, I love you too. Okay, so you guys met, and Isaac, you finished school there, right? Or did you just like did they come to you and say, by the way? you shit unicorns and you are a star.
No, that's not what happened. No, I did graduate. I graduated the following year. So like a year after I met Wes, I graduated. And
were you two still in touch?
We were still in touch. I would text him all the time being like, I need career advice. Like, I don't know anything about the industry.
Which is like a great way to stroke that ego for me and just like, just teach me the ways of showbiz and the industry.
So yeah, I would text him from time to time. So we stayed in touch. And when I found out that I got Once on This Island, Wes was like one of the first calls I made. Oh, I was like, how do I be on Broadway? I don't know how. Can you teach me?
And I had just, you know, gotten the SpongeBob offer. And I was like, our theaters are going to be three blocks away. Now we must date.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, it was kismet. It was just wild.
Now, I want to hear both of these stories. Isaac, what was your audition process like for Once on This Island?
So I had a self-tape. I had like, I hadn't even moved to New York yet. I was like self-taping for a bunch of stuff. Like Telsey would just send me like things to tape for. And one of them was Once on This Island. And they liked my tape. I guess I showed it to the creatives. And then they invited me in. They were like, when are you going to be in New York again? And I was doing a show at the Adirondack Theater Festival, like up north of the city. And so I came down on my day off. It was like I don't remember what day it was. And I went in and it was like the whole creative team. I walked in because they were in the middle of a workshop for it at the time. And I went in and I did the sides and everything. And you know, they had me like do the Daniel stuff, and Nikki James was the reader, and I didn't know who Nikki was. And I was like, this must be the girl playing T Moon. So I was like, if I had known who anyone in that room was, I would have been so scared.
Nikki James was the reader.
Yes.
Well, you know, she assisted, she was Michael's associate.
I know, but still I'd be like, what? Anyway, go on.
Anyway, so I do the audition. I sing the song, and then they're like, can you do something from your book? So then I sing something from my book, whatever. And then I left, and then I had left my wallet in the room. I left
Smart.
It sitting on the piano.
Smart.
So I had to go back, and then like casting was like a little curt with me about it, and I was really embarrassed because this was like one of my first auditions in New York. I think it was the second time I'd auditioned for something in New York. And then I left, and then went back up and finished doing that show, and then like 2 weeks later, I think I got an offer.
I'm sorry that they were curt to you about that. That must have felt like shit.
It did, just because I was like, I don't know, yeah, whatever. But they're great. I love them.
I know. No, me too. Me too. I worship the candy-coated ground they walk on. You hear me? Like they're like Bernie's like, oh, I love Josh Swallow's like, Broadway.
In my mind, they were probably so curt with me, but you know, knowing what I know now, it probably was not curt at all.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we experience auditions in sometimes a very different way than what they actually...
So vulnerable.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Mm.
And when you... I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've been a reader, you know, for auditions at some... You know, and you learn a lot about sort of people's perception on both sides of the table, you know? It's just wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done it a few times, and honestly, I was like, oh, this is how you audition.
Right.
Like, if you get the opportunity, I say do it.
It's valuable, yeah.
I did have one crazy audition for Honeymoon in Vegas, and I was waiting to go in, and the casting director comes out, and he's like, hey, are you ready? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, great. So, you know, you're rooting with Tony Danza. And he opens the door, and I was like, what? And there's Tony Danza in the middle of the room being like, hey, lo, 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 lo. There's like 70 million people behind the desk. And I was like, wait, what's happening? And he was like physical in the audition, and I just couldn't play along. I didn't know what was going on. And then when I was singing the song, he was behind the table gesturing me like wildly, like conducting, being like, yeah, yeah, now do this, more, more, more. It was the weirdest audition I've ever had in my life. And the look on your faces is special.
Well, we just froze for a second.
Yeah, we were
just
frozen for a moment.
Oh, I thought that you two were just like... I thought that you two were like...
No, our faces were frozen in astonishment as well.
Okay, because here it was like, oh, wow, I upset them. Oh no, you froze again, but that's okay. I'm just going to continue talking about how much I love you two. So what I'm dying to know, Mr. Isaac, is where were you when you got the call that you were going to be Daniel in Once on This Island?
So I was on like a 10-minute break. I was doing a production of Newsies at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera, which
directed by Ricky Hines.
Yes, directed by Ricky Hines. Yes. So I was on like a 10 from that. I had like, you know, there was one of those moments where they were like, okay, everybody just like take 2 minutes and, you know, go do whatever. And when I did that, I looked at my phone and I had like 5 missed calls from like my agents, from their office, from their personal numbers. And really quickly, I just like listened to one of the voicemails and it was like, hey, Isaac, just wanted to call and say, wow, this is so exciting. Just give us a call back whenever you can. And when that ended, they were like, all right, break's over. Let's come back. All right. And so for the next like half hour waiting for that 10-minute break, I was just like, what the fuck is happening? What's about to happen? And so then on our 10, what?
I would have faked an injury right there. Yeah, I would have been like, oh, my spleen. I got to call a doctor.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I waited until the 10-minute break. And then I ran to like a, you know, an empty bathroom somewhere and called my agent and he told me that I was going to play Daniel in Once on This Island on Broadway. And I like freaked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who did you call your parents first?
I did. I think I called my parents immediately. I told the girl playing Catherine because she was like my bestie that summer. We had done like all the summer stock together that summer. And so I told her first and then I called my parents. And I think honestly, Wes was like the next person I told.
Oh my God. And we had kept in touch and we had been flirting and all of the things, but we were not that close. And I was like, oh, he wants me to
know. I was still playing the game.
Yeah.
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 And Wes, your Broadway debut was Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
And that was during Hair, which was my Broadway debut. Talk about us just being babies back then, you know? And I remember being so infatuated, like with you and so many other people, that during the big Tony rehearsal where we all had to sing Let the Sunshine In, like I was like, everybody knows Wes and I just want to say hi, but no, don't do it.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Well, I'm shy like that with people that I don't know.
You're shy? You?
With people that I don't know and respect.
Wow.
And then I let them see the monster.
That's right. I got acquainted with the monster pretty quick in Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, you met the monster. The tickle monster.
Sure did.
Wes, with your Broadway debut, like, how did that go down?
I did not, you know, I got the appointment and I was like, this German boy, I'm like, this is going to be a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan-looking boy. It's not going to be the half Puerto Rican. You know, I just did not think that I fit the type, you know? And also, I had really, I say this, I didn't think much of this on paper. No offense to the book writer, who is really brilliant. And I was just very stuck up and a snob from, you know, all the Shakespeare I had just done at drama school. And I thought that I was above this sort of 80s jukebox rock musical. And I just remember like not understanding what a gift that show was, you know, until it was too late. You know, like I took it for granted. I really didn't realize what I was in at the time. And it just kept exceeding my expectations, you know, it kept sort of being this gift that kept giving. And I was also like nervous when my drama school teachers came that they would look down on this bubblegum trashy jukebox show, but they were just like, this is the work. This is comedy technique.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We went to very different high schools.
Well,
like, no, this your
was college drama school.
Even still, like, my college was. We did weird romance. Like, that was the big show that we did. Sure. And you doing Shakespeare.
So you went right from high school to hair?
Pretty much, yeah. No.
What?
Being adopted, it was just a gift. you know, and I'm just lucky like that. No, it was terrible. I graduated high school. Nobody thought that I would. True story. And
why didn't anyone think you would?
As a terrible student. I didn't care about anything except theater. And also it was the only thing that I was good at.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand math. Eventually, my counselor came and was like, Josh, you have to take a math class to graduate. There is a math class called consumer math, which is basically like 1 + 1, you know, how to balance a checkbook. And I was like, sign me up. And I didn't do anything. And the teacher gave me an A because I was nice to him.
Wow.
Do you remember the movie Dangerous Minds?
I never saw it.
Okay. It's about a bunch of like really, really, you know, down and out kids that are in gangs and stuff. And sure. Michelle Pfeiffer teaches them. It was like that, except my town was all rich Mormons. So they were just naughty Mormons. And,
and where was this again? Remind me.
Poway, San Diego.
San Diego. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And Wes, you're from Florida. Yeah.
Yes, Orlando.
I still can't believe you didn't get into Juilliard. It's one of my favorite stories.
Yep. it's a good party favor. It's a party story.
Well, you have so many of them because you were such a serious artist.
Yes. And like, I took myself very, very seriously.
Well, no, but you are. You're an incredible actor. You are an incredible writer. You have vision. Like, you are a serious artist where I make a lot of faces and sounds and it works in my favor. Now, anyway, where was I going with this? You're an artiste. Oh yeah. Juilliard.
Do you want the story?
Please.
I thought, excuse me. Sorry, just Corona. That's not funny. you can edit that
You
out.
Got the vid?
So I took myself incredibly seriously. I thought I was Daniel Day-Lewis. Went to an arts high school and I was cast in all the lead roles, you know, it really went to my head. So I really thought, you know, Juilliard was going to happen for me. And I went in with that blind confidence with the black turtleneck and black slacks and black jazz slippers. I came into the room with, you know, quantity over quality prepared. I had like lots of monologues prepared for backup. So like I did my contrasting two monologues. They asked me if I had anything else. And I was very excited that they asked me that because of course I was ready for that.
You were like, do I?
Yes. So I was like, classical or contemporary? And they said... And they said, classical? And I said, Shakespeare, Ibsen, and Molière. And they said, Shakespeare. And I said, comedy, tragedy, or history. And I think they tried to stump me at that point, and they said history, to which I said, I will be doing Prince Hal from Henry the Fourth. And they honestly, they cut me off halfway through the monologue, I think to teach me a lesson. But I did not even get a callback. Like I did not even, it was pretty loud and clear, their message. But also I probably was terrible. It was just, you know.
I doubt you were terrible, but that's, I mean, didn't you take your mother and sister to see Night Mother when you were a kid?
We were just talking about this, yeah. Yeah, well, we would go to New York to see Broadway shows and they didn't really follow follow the theater scene like I did. So I would give my dad a list of plays that we needed to see. And yeah, they wanted to see like Mamma Mia. And I was like, we're seeing Night Mother with Brendan Bleth and Edie Falco. Yeah. But weren't you like this too? I mean,
I was, but like my first Broadway show was Beauty and the Beast because I wanted to see Susan Egan and Terrence Mann. Oh,
and I mean, that was my first Broadway show too when I was like, yeah, a kid, nine.
I guess when I was in high school, I wanted to see Beauty Queen of Linan.
Oh.
I remember a friend from camp got a playbill signed for me and sent it to me in San Diego. And I was like, Beauty Queen of Linan, even though I had no idea what it was about or anything. It just like
love the dark. Title. It's like amazing. Ugh.
Well, also the woman on the cover, that heavy set woman that played the mom, they're like, oh, what's me call it, Mary? Oh, me poor. Oh. You know, like.
I don't know anything about this show. So
you'll have to
I don't
look
know
it
the
up.
Image. I don't know. But Isaac, Tell them about your first Broadway show.
My first Broadway show was Legally Blonde, the musical.
Which you saw how many times?
I saw it twice on the same day. I went to the matinee and I was so obsessed that I went right back to the box office and bought a ticket to go back that evening. I had been an avid follower of MTV's Search for the Next Elle Woods.
Of course.
It was my only outlet to the Broadway stage from here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And so when Bailey Hanks won, I was like, I must see her play Elle. I must see her Elle. And so my parents, we had a trip to New York. My dad's a bodybuilder. And so he had a bodybuilding competition in New York. So he comes up for his bodybuilding competition.
He's also a 3-time CrossFit champion. Am I right?
Yeah, wow, he won like yes. The CrossFit championship
good on
of the
you,
world
God.
Or whatever, 3
bananas.
Times.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're up there for that like macho sports stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm going to see Legally Blonde. And so I did. And
with his bleach blonde hair.
Yes, I had blonde hair at the time.
We all did, though, at some point.
Well, I had the frosted tips.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, we all did at some point.
Yeah. There's this great picture of like me. My mom took me like going in, like in the lobby of the palace, like walking into my first Broadway show. And then we recreated the picture when Wes was doing SpongeBob at the palace.
Oh, yeah. God, the palace. That's fabulous. Did you know that one of the worst jobs I ever had was passing out flyers for Legally Blonde with Bailey Hanks in Times Square? I had to wear a hot pink shirt and hot pink hat. I looked like the Kool-Aid man on meth. Literally would just walk around Times Square so sad, being like, come see Bailey Hanks and Legally Blonde. 12 girls, 2 dogs, get into it.
Oh, no.
And Horace would come up and be like, are you in the show? And I'd be like, yeah, I'm in the show. Come see me tonight at 8.
I'm dead. Did you ever put on those red tights and do it for Chicago?
That was right before Chicago started. That's right before they started doing costumes.
Okay.
This was like old Times Square. In front of the marquee, they were doing White Christmas, and they had this enormous Christmas tree and Christmas music playing. So I would just like dance to the music and like flamboyantly hand out flyers. And then I got really bored and I trimmed the Christmas tree with Legally Blonde flyers. Oh. And storming up to me comes this man, like claiming to be a Nederlander or something, being like, who do you think? Take this. That's like, sir, you look too young to be a Nederlander, but you do look like you could use some Bailey Hanks and Legally Blonde. When I got back to Fox Theatricals,
oh no!
Fabulous casting director Megan Larsh was still working there, and she looked at me with her arms crossed, and she said, what did you do? And I was forever banned in front of the Marquee Theater at that point.
Oh my God, Josh! this is a great story.
Great.
Yeah. So that's good what you job. Do when you're down and out in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so fun. Maybe I gave you a flyer.
Yeah, maybe you did.
You never know.
Yeah.
So what is it like? Is it hard in a way to be in a relationship with somebody in the same profession?
Yes, sometimes, I guess.
I think of all the pros that sort of outweigh the cons. Like, we understand how to talk each other off of the terrible ledges that an actor can go out on. And, you know, it's also great to have, like, a live-in reader who's just, like, really good at that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
especially in the time of, especially in the time of a pandemic when everyone's putting each other on tape and, you know, you're relying on each other for these things. But yeah, like you said, you sort of take turns with the whole, I don't know, taking care of each other's neuroses and building each other back up. You know, it's a pretty unforgiving business. And, it's really nice to have someone who's sort of experiencing it in the same way, in a different capacity, but understands it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. Like, one thing that I think I've learned over time, and what I tell my students a lot, is that the business is so terrible, we have to focus on us being together. Like, we are a community. We're not each other's competition.
Yeah.
And because nobody knows what it's like but us. And we all came here with the same dream. And there's enough for it to go around, and it does.
Yeah.
But I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to have a guest fan call. And they have no idea that they're going to be talking to you two either.
Oh,
so stay tuned.
That's going to be great.
That's fun.
All right, what? Alan. Oh, my God.
What? What happened?
What happened?
Yeah, so the guest caller has the call in for right now, 6:15. I'm just waiting for him to show up. So
okay,
do you want to have the two of them pop in as a surprise?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so then we got to remove you now because I have no idea if he's going to show up in the green room.
Oh, my God. Look at that beard.
Okay, so do we need to rejoin or something?
No.
No.
Now you're gone.
Can they still hear you?
They can hear us. We cannot hear them.
Okay, got you.
So we can talk shit about them now.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
New room.
Oh.
It's through the door. I'm about to go to dinner with some friends.
All right. Hi, Max.
Hello.
Hey, Max. So what we're going to do is we are going to have Alan lead you in. I'm going to start talking, and then Alan's going to say, this is who our guest is, this is their question, and we're going to bring you on, and then you'll get to see our celebrity guests.
Okay. Excited.
Cool. Awesome. I'm excited too. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, goodbye. Enjoy your dinner.
Bye.
Peace out.
Elizabeth.
All right. And then Max, I'm going to put you back in the green room. So stand by. All right, Josh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Josh Swallows Broadway. Anyway, gulp. I'm here with my beloved producer, Alan. And Alan, we have a fan call, do we not?
We do. His name is Max. And he wrote in wanting to know about how you cope with rejection and other things of the sort in the industry. So I'm going to pop him into the chat here, and I'll let him ask his question himself. So Yay. Enjoy.
Hey, Max!
Hello!
Welcome to Josh Swallows Broadway! This is so cool!
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. It's a great question, and I hope that we don't disappoint. And today's special guest to help us with this question are Broadway darlings Wes Taylor and Isaac Powell.
Oh my God. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good to see you. We're good.
Yeah.
Oh, Max, I like the look on your face. You're adorable. So how do we deal with rejection in the business, boys?
It's a good question. It's a good question because it is very much a part of this business. I would say to focus on the fact that it's almost never personal. It feels incredibly personal all the time because you're putting yourself out there in such a vulnerable way, right? And so, of course, it feels like they don't want what you're selling, which is you. You know, it's not like you're making a product. You are the product. So, of course, it feels personal. And that is hard to you know, be told no over and over and over again when yourself is the product, right? But, you know, I think like the last job that I was auditioning for, that I, the last one that I really wanted, and you helped put me on tape for it. And I thought it was a really solid audition, didn't get it. Always wondering like, what did I do? What did I not do? What could I have done more? And then you see the person who gets it and it's like someone 20 years older and not your race and not, and you're just like, you know, like it's almost never, it's just like, they're seeing a lot of choices. They're seeing a lot of different types of people and sizes and shapes and ages and, you know, or they're looking for something very specific and it's like the tiniest thing that they respond to that might have happened right before you with the person who went in the room right before you. I mean, it's all, I don't know. Do you have something to add to this? This is a long-winded answer.
That was good. That was great.
Okay.
I like to reframe it not as rejection. So it's not necessarily a rejection because, again, like what Wes said, it's not personal. You know, there's so many other factors that go into it. So it's really easy to get swept up and feel like, you know, everything revolved around you, but it, you know, it really actually has nothing to do with you. And I am a firm believer that what is for you will not pass you by. Mm. So if that opportunity was not yours, it was not yours. Yeah. And in the same way, you know, the roles that are meant for you, you will get because yeah. they're the ones that are meant for you. And
that's,
the ones that
that's
are
really,
not what you want.
That's really good.
Yeah. No one will ever get your role.
That's
if
the
you
thing
don't get
is,
it wasn't yours.
You think sometimes, you know, we have a lot of experience with this. So like when you don't get the part, you're like, but that was mine. Like that was, it was so clearly mine. Like I read it and I responded to it and it felt exactly like me on paper.
I hired a witch to put a spell on Netherrack. Like that was mine.
Just that one time.
But it's not yours. It was his. It was the person who got it. That was their role. And it feels like yours so strongly, but clearly it wasn't. Just in the same way that, you know, you don't think that you're right for another part at all. And then casting decides that you are that part. And you're like, what? I'm not this part. When you were up for Tony in West Side Story, you know, Isaac's half black. We were like, what? But they had other ideas. Thank God.
This isn't a great example because I did get that job.
Oh, that's right.
But- Max, what about you? Are you an actor?
I am. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Where are you calling from?
Seattle.
I love Seattle, one of my favorite places. And they have a great theater scene there too.
Oh yeah.
Do you get to audition much? Are you in school?
I'm in school. I have auditioned around a little bit. Not much. I haven't focused. I'm a senior now. So I'm starting the whole process of like gearing up for college auditions, which are in January, which is terrifying, like in every way. But yeah, so yeah, I see a lot of theater in Seattle. Almost everything that isn't a tour is available through something here called Teen Ticks, which is if you're a teenager, you can just sign up. It's completely free and you get to see, you can get day of tickets to a lot of theater things, a lot of museums just for $5 for whatever tickets they have available. So everything at the Fifth Avenue, everything at the Seattle Rep, unless it's a tour, I go try to see that. And so I sort of learn a lot about theater just by seeing the rest by doing things in my area.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's incredible. Well, especially while going into college and stuff, it's always been my belief that our job is to only give people the best option of us that we can. We can't compare ourselves to others because then we compare and we despair about ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is give them the best option of you. Mm-hmm. And with casting, it's a puzzle. Right? As long as we show up and give them a good option, we are respecting the casting director's job, saying, hey, thanks for bringing me in. I'm always going to give you a good option. And eventually it's going to be you. There will be many times when it's not. But if you go in there and you're passionate, you're present, you're prepared, and you have a good option, you are being 1,000% successful. You are doing your job. That is your only job. And the frustrating thing I think about acting is that our job isn't necessarily about booking the job. It's about giving great options.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, I sound so profound. Like I would date me, maybe. For a day. For a day. Then I'd be like, you don't look like your pick, Layman. Can't break up with me. That's really cool. So you're a senior. Is your school doing shows this year? I mean, online? An online version of Rent Junior?
Yeah, actually, that's funny. I was in Rent School Edition last year, back the very last thing I did before theaters closed. I was Mark and Rent.
Amazing. Theater,
which was wonderful. But yeah.
Tell me about the school edition of Rent real quick. Do they still have AIDS? Do they have diabetes?
Yeah, everything is basically the same. They cut contact, which is like the thing where they're all like, you know.
But they're being naughty.
Yeah, which makes sense. And they do cut basically every swear, but my director was like, the things they use to censor these are horrible. Just say fuck. Go for it. We don't care. So we were allowed to swear on stage.
All right.
It was wonderful. Yeah. So it's actually, as far as school edition shows go, it isn't as bad as some of them. I think this is one of the better ones. Yeah.
I want to do a school edition passion.
We did Les Mis Junior.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Please tell me who you were.
Well, who do you think?
Jean Valjean?
I was Marius, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, whoever played Jean Valjean was an idiot.
Yeah.
I saw their performance. They were an idiot. Yeah. Isaac, what shows did you do in high school?
We did, we were always doing weird shit. Like, my freshman year, we did Almost Maine. Well, that John Cariani wrote. I actually love that. That one has a special place in my heart. And then my sophomore year.
You were Pippin.
I was Pippin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Think about the sun.
Think about the sun, Pippin. we did Much Ado About Nothing. I played Claudio.
It's a Wonderful Life.
My junior year, I played George and It's a Wonderful Life. And
school fucking sucked. We did The Boyfriend, The Matchmaker, and then I didn't get cast in Bye Bye Birdie. I've said the story many times, Max, many times. But when I didn't get cast in Bye Bye Birdie, I went straight up to my drama teacher and said, you're going to have to change the name of the show from Bye Bye Birdie to Hello Shitty. And I cried and I stormed out of the room.
Oh my God.
Not much has changed. I was very upset. I should have been Mr. McAfee, goddammit, not Michael Harriman.
What's Michael up to now anyway?
Nothing. He's a monster. He's an idiot. But Max, thank you for being with us today. Listen, you have a really exciting year ahead of you. Yeah. All you have to do is give them a great option of you. And whatever you're doing, you're nailing it, believe me. Just keep doing it. Keep watching actors that you love. And every audition is practice. And as long as you go in there and give them an authentic version of you, you're nailing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, Wes, Isaac, anything we want to say to our new friend?
I just want to say break a leg. Like, have an awesome senior year. And I know college auditions are so insane. And everything Ross just said is so valuable. And
hats off that you're dealing with it now in the middle of this crazy, crazy time to be alive. And still, you know, looking towards it with optimism and positivity. I would be, I'd be nervous. But you seem like in great spirits about this.
Yeah. It's like crazy. It's all going to be over Zoom or some sort of thing. It's weird. But I just got to kind of face it dead on. There's nothing else really to do.
Exactly. And whatever you do, follow your bliss. The world is yours, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Have an incredible day. And will you keep us posted on your auditions, your college auditions? Great. Just email us and let us know how they go.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day, Max.
Bye. Bye-bye.
That was adorable.
Wasn't it?
I wasn't going to be like, tell him the Juilliard story again. But thank you both very much for being with me today. I love you both so much. I'm so happy that you two found each other. And I'm so happy that that I found you two and that we're in the same community.
Likewise. You're the best. Thanks, Josh.
You rock. We love you.
Thanks. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Josh Swallows Broadway. Stay tuned for more season 2 and join us at our Patreon, patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Bye, fuckers. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dori Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.